happy? No questions about the homework? Okay. So, if there are no questions, I'd like to, yeah, go ahead.
Has fun pattern recognition, are you going to be great, can we go with patterns?
Which one was that?
What has the words what matches?
You should be able to get them. So your question is it a big deal if you don't get the pattern?
Yes.
It's not a big deal, no. Well, you notice that you have about like five, no, more than that. It's like eight conversions between binary and decimal. So it's going to be a really small part of the grade. Anything else? Okay. Last time we ended by giving a few examples of how do you go between simple machine language instructions and complicated formulas. So I would like to do a few more examples, just to give you a sense of what those things, you know, what you're kind of expected to do when you get that kind of problem. So first one will be, here's a program.
Thank you.
one by one. Accumulator equals B, times B in the accumulator. Accumulator equals accumulator or C. Whatever is in the accumulator or with C, put back in the accumulator. So B or C. N equals accumulator. Take whatever is in the accumulator, put it in N. So what's in the accumulator is B or C. Then take whatever's in A, put it in the accumulator. So this basically erased everything that was in the accumulator. This B or C we lost. But put A in. Then say accumulator equals accumulator and N. So accumulator and N is A and B or C. And put that in the accumulator. So A and or C, and put parentheses. Okay, so I'm here. P equals accumulator. Save this whole thing in P. A and P or C. Accumulator equals not A. Accumulator equals accumulator and N. So accumulator and this. So this is going to be instruction too. Remember the legal instructions, you have a list of legal instructions, there's 8 of them, you can't use other ones. So you can't say something like accumulator equals not A and B. That's not okay, it's too big. You have to break it down into smaller ones. So the first thing you do, you can say accumulator was not A, and that's an okay one. Accumulator equals not A, then you do the and. So now you're in the accumulator, you have not A. If you do accumulator equals accumulator and B, the value that was stored in the accumulator was not A. So this is going to be the right-hand side of this instruction is going to be not A and B. And that whole thing is going to be dumped in the accumulator. So now in the accumulator, you have this. Second thing you do is this other parentheses, right? So now you're probably going to say, okay, well, the next thing to do is accumulator equals not B and accumulator and A. And that's going to store in the accumulator this expression. What's the problem if I put these together? So I do, you do this one, then this one, then this one, then this one.
You lose what you have before.
Yeah, you lose what you have before, because here you had not A and B in the accumulator. When you do accumulator with not B, remember how you cross it off? You cross this off, and you are going to in the accumulator, you're going to have not B. So you just save it somewhere. You can save it in one of the variables that you're not using. And remember, we have variables A through P. So A is used. Is used. We're not going to use D. Let's use B. We can say D equals accumulator. Remember what the equal sign does, says take whatever's on the right hand side, the content of the variable that's on the right hand side, and dump it in the variable that's on the left hand side. So take whatever value is in here, store it in D. So now D is going to have not A and B in it. Then we can do this stuff. Now we don't care that A has been what the accumulator has been erased. And now we have this in D, and we have this in the accumulator. How can we bring this whole expression, C in the accumulator? How can we compute C in this one?
Accumulator is equal to accumulator or D.
Okay, so we do accumulator equals accumulator or D, and now we have this whole thing in the accumulator. But we want it in C. So we need an extra step.
C equals
accumulator. Yes. So this is the breaking down of a more complicated expression into more simple expressions. And I will go over an example again on the slides, and then I'm going to show you a way to make this easier
a little bit. So let's dive in. Well, I think we have a few clicker questions. So the question is, what's in the accumulator? So the question is, after the sequence of machine language statements, what will the accumulator contain as a function of A and B? And your little sequence is accumulator equals A, N equals not accumulator, accumulator equals B, accumulator equals accumulator or N. And your options are A, it's not A, B, it's B, C, not A or B, D, not B or A, E, A and B. Thank you. stopping at 2. Stopping. Okay, good. Most people got the right answer. Okay. Here's another one with the repeat until loop. The question is, what does the script do? And the script is, when the flag is clicked, set the variable x to 4, and then you have repeat until x equals 1, and inside the repeat loop you have play sound pop until done, and change x by minus 1. And the options are A, it counts to 4, B, it pops 4 times, C, it pops forever, D, when 4 equals 1 it stops, and E, pops 3 times. Stopping. All right. So I think the majority was right. Let's see. So you start with x equals 4. And you go into the repeat until loop. And it says repeat until x equals 1. And we said that it's going to stay in the loop until x is going to be 1. X is not 1, so it's going to go in the loop. It's going to play the sound pop. So I'm going to put a little sticker. It plays the sound pop once. It changes x by minus 1. So it's making it 3. It stays in the repeat until loop because x is not 1 yet. And it's playing another pop. And it's making x 2. It's continuing the loop. And it's playing another pop. And it's making x1. And at this point, the condition is met, and so it's going to get out of the loop and stop the script. And so here you have the number of pops that it actually did. Any questions? What about this one? The same question, what does the script do? And you have a main script and you have a subroutine. The main script says when the flag is clicked, set the variable x to 4. Again, repeat until x equals 1. You broadcast popping and wait. And then you change x by minus 1. And popping says when I receive popping, repeat x number of times. And inside a repeat loop, it's saying play sound pop until done. So the options are A, it counts to 10, B, pops 4 times, C, pops forever, D, pops 9 times, E, pops 10 times.
stop at 1:30. Stopping. Okay. Let's do this one. So, x equals 4. What is the subroutine popping to in words? Somebody tell me in words what it does? Yeah.
It pops x number of times.
It pops x number of times. Good. So it says, repeat until x equals 1. Again, x is not 1. It goes into the respiratory loop. It broadcasts popping and waits. So x is 4. Popping will pop 4 times. And then it makes x 3. And it continues with the loop. Again, it broadcasts popping, which pops 3 times. It makes x 2. And it continues with a loop. And it goes this popping again twice. And then it makes X1. And at this point, it doesn't need to stay in the loop anymore. And it's done. So on the board, you have the number of times it popped. Which was right. Any questions? So whenever you have something like this, you can always go through it and see exactly what it does. And, you know, trace the variables, see how x has changed and what happens, and you can figure out what the script is. Okay? Okay, so this is a little recap of last time, going over the machine language, how you have this special variable, the accumulator, that's kind of involved in all the instructions, all the machine language instructions. You have access to the variables, which can help you store information. And then you can do all these very small basic operations with the accumulator and a not, and you can get the memory involved too. So these are the... I noticed that on the slides, nobody told me, but the slides that I make are... So I write them in Keynote, and then I transfer to Windows. This slide doesn't look good. So I'm going to try to make sure that I upload a new version that actually looks good so you can all have this slide. But we said that every single instruction is going to have 7 bits. And the 3 bits are going to be the operation that's getting done. And the last 4 bits are going to be the variable that's involved in the operation. And as you can see, accumulator is involved in every single operation. All right, so here's another example. We did it before. Another example of taking a complicated instruction and breaking it down into the simple machine language instructions that the computer, that are closer to the kind of information the computer wants to see and understand. So we have something like C equals not B and A or not B. And we're gonna, you know, with yellow you can see the, in yellow you can see the legal instructions that we can do, so we know exactly how, you know, have we broken it down enough, or do we still need to break it down more? And so, as you look at this expression, if you were to compute it, you know, where would you start? Well, you could start with the parentheses, for example. And you can say, okay, I'm doing the parentheses first, then the not, then the and, then the or. And so, A and not B is going to be computed first, but it's still too big. And so I need to break it down more. I'm going to do the not B, because inside the parentheses, I do not before the not before the or. And so I'm going to take care of not B. And I see here that accumulator equals not variable is actually a valid instruction. It's something that I can do. So I'm going to use that one. And my variable is going to be B. And so that's the first instruction I'm going to do. Accumulator equals not B, and I keep in mind that that's what's in the accumulator at this point. The next thing I'm going to do, I need to finish up the parentheses. So I need to do A or accumulator, right? So I'm going to use this instruction. You know, I can use this instruction or this instruction. I need an OR. So I'm going to choose the first one. And so I'm going to do accumulator equals accumulator or A. And now in the accumulator holds not B or A, which is the same as A or not B, because OR is commutative. Okay? The next thing that I need to do, I have two ands and I have a not, and I do the not before the and. And so I need to do the not B next. Now, I need to use, this is the instructions that I need to use. If I do accumulator equals not B, I'm going to lose what's in the accumulator. So I need to somehow save that, which I didn't do. Okay, so I need it, if I were to do this correctly, I would need to save that in some kind of, you know, say something like E equals accumulator, and save that value. Right, so that's not good, because that's going to overwrite. So notice how now I lost what I had in the accumulator. So I need to save it in one of the variables that are not involved in this whole process. So A is taken, B is taken, C is taken. I'm going to use D. I could use E, F, whatever you want. So I'm going to save the value. Now D, notice how the value in the accumulator got copied in D. And so now that value is safe, and I can use my accumulator again. And I can do the accumulator equals not B. So accumulator is going to store not B. The next thing I'm going to do is the and, one of the ands, so I'm going to do that one. I can do accumulator equals accumulator and A. So right now, accumulator is going to hold not B and A, which is exactly what I wanted it to hold. And now I can do the and. So I need to and what's in the accumulator, which is the left-hand side, the left part of the expression, with what I saved in D. So that's going to be what I'm doing next. Accumulator equals accumulator and B. And now in the accumulator, I'm going to have that whole expression. And I can say C equals accumulator, and C will store, C is going to be the value, and C is going to be the value that was in the accumulator. And I'm done. Let's do this quick question. The question is, what's the machine language code for the expression D equals A and B or C? And A says accumulator equals A and B, accumulator equals accumulator or C, D equals accumulator. B says accumulator equals B, accumulator equals accumulator and A, accumulator equals accumulator or C, D equals accumulator. C is accumulator equals B, A equals A and accumulator, accumulator equals accumulator or C, D equals accumulator. D is accumulator equals B, accumulator equals accumulator or C, A equals A and accumulator, and D equals A. And E is accumulator equals A, accumulator equals A and B, accumulator equals A and B or C, D equals accumulator. Stop at 10 after 2. Majority was right. let's see, what, okay, A looks good, right? You do A and B first, and then you do accumulator, equals accumulator, or C, and then you put D in what's in the accumulator and put in D. The problem is, it's not a legal instruction. You can't do accumulator equals variable 1 and variable 2. You have to break it down into accumulator equals variable 1, variable accumulator equals accumulator and variable 2, and so on. So this is not a legal instruction. It's not broken down enough. Let's see. The other problems are E also has the same problem. You can't do accumulator equals accumulator and B. You can't do accumulator equals accumulator A and B or C. You can't do that. Those are too big. So only B, C, and D have, D actually doesn't, right? You can't do D equals A. That's not valid. That's not legal. So between B and C, let's see, what does C do? So C says accumulator equals B, A equals A, and accumulator equals accumulator, or C, and equals accumulator. So put everything on the left-hand side in a table, accumulator, A, this one says A equals A and accumulator. A and B gets put in A. Then accumulator equals accumulator or C. So take whatever's in the accumulator, or it with C, and dump it in the accumulator. B equals C. And then D equals accumulator. So accumulator will hold B or C. So D is going to be only B or C. It's not going to be A and B or C. That's why C is not correct.
So this is the lesson here is, yeah, go ahead.
I just have a general question about the instructions. If you write them as a variable and accumulator, it's still valid as opposed to accumulator?
Yes, so
does it matter if it's...
Here, the legal ones are here, and you can have variable equals accumulator or variable and... But the problem is you're going to have, the value is going to be stored in the variable. So you have to remember that and do something like either accumulator equals variable or... I usually use these ones because that puts the value in your accumulator and then it's ready to use. So. Okay, we have another one. What will the values of C in the accumulator be after this code is run? And your code is accumulator equals not A, accumulator equals accumulator or B, and accumulator equals accumulator and A, and C equals accumulator. And the initial values of A, B, C, and the accumulator are A is true, B is false, and accumulator is true, and C is false. And your options are A, accumulator is false, C is false, B, accumulator is false, C is true, C, accumulator is true, C is false, D, accumulator is true, C is true, and E, accumulator is true, but C cannot be determined. stopping at 2:30. Stopping. Okay, good. So this one says, familiar equals not A. A is true, so familiar is going to be not true, which is false. Familiar equals accumulator or B. False or false is false. Accumulator equals accumulator and A. False and true. False. C equals accumulator. False. Questions? Yeah. The value before these instructions are done is true. But as soon as you say accumulator equals something, you can get wrong. Yeah.
Is there a particular reason why we can't not be accumulator with one step?
So accumulator equals not accumulator?
Yes.
No. There's no particular reasons. We had 7 bits, and we decided to use those instructions. We just made it up, the set of instructions. Oh, there's another one. Should we do this one? I think we don't need to do this one. Okay, so we talked about memory last time, how memory is like the variables A, B, C, D, E, and so on. And the processor can access the memory. We talked about variables. We talked about lists. So I want to go over this because I think I have a clicker question. And this is pretty important. We're going to do lab. The lab is going to be on lists too. So when we want to access a number in the list, we say item 1 of L. So the first item is item 1 of L. The fifth item is item 5 of L. The 100th item is item 5 of item 100 of L. And we can say stuff like item 7 of L is item 1 of L plus 9. And that's going to say, okay, take, so the item 1, item 2, all of them are like variables. So the equal sign means the same thing. It says, take whatever's on the left-hand, right-hand side, dump it in the left-hand side. So it's saying item 1 of L plus 4. And item 1 of L is 5 plus 4 is 9, so that's going to put 9 in the 7th item of the list. Let's try this one. So this says when flag is clicked, insert 63 at 1, that's item 1 of a list, list num. Insert 65 at 1, at item 1 of num. Insert 67 at item 1 of num. And then say length of num for 2 seconds. Maybe I should say something before this. What insert is doing is, let's say you have an empty list, and this is num, think of it as the empty list. If I have an item here, I have 12 in this list, right? If I say insert 13 at 1, 2, 3, 4, at 4 in the list, I'm going to put it here. If I say insert 5 at 1, what this is going to do is it's going to push everything to the right, and it's going to insert the number here. So if I have something there, it's not going to overwrite it. It's going to push everything. So 12 is going to be at the second item. At the second item, 2, 3, 4, 5. 13 is going to be at the fifth item, because it was at 4. And I'm going to put 7. So that's what insert is. So num is an empty list before the script is run. And the question is, what will the sprite say? So the sprite is saying the length of the list for 2 seconds after the 3 items are inserted.
Okay.
stop at 2:45. Right answer got majority. So this is saying, it does some inserts in the list, and then it says, say length of the list. The length of the list is how many numbers are in the list for 2 seconds. So the only thing it's saying is the length of the list, which is 3 because we inserted 3 things in the list. Now, I'm gonna skip this one. Okay, so we said that we talked in the beginning of the class, we talked about stuff that's very basic, like bits and logics and logic gates. And then we talked about Scratch, which is a very high level, you can make very complicated things. And we said that's something that bridges the basics with the complicated, the lower level with the higher levels, is the machine language. And there's another thing that's in between that is helping the machine language build the expressions that it's doing. It's helping the machine language break down the complicated expressions into simple expressions. And those are called expression trees. So the idea is that every Boolean expression, every expressions with logic variables and logic operators has a tree associated with it. So no matter how complicated it is or how simple it is, there's always a tree. And it's the same going the other way. No matter what the tree is, no matter what the expression tree is, you can always find a Boolean expression that is corresponds to it. So this is what the expression trees look like. If you have the Boolean variable, Boolean expression true, that's represented by true put in a rectangle. If it's false, it's a false put in a rectangle. The colors don't really matter. It just help a little bit with, you know, visualizing it. If you have an and between a true and a false, that's just you take the true and the false, and then you put an and on top, and you link the left branch with the true and the right branch with the false. So that says true and false looks like that. Not true is going to be not connected to a true. It should be pretty intuitive. True and true would be an and with a true on the left and a true on the right. Then you can make more complicated things like not true or false, which is actually an or between a not true and false. So that's what the tree is going to look like. And this is a little more complicated. If you look at the expression, it's actually a big and. It's an and between two things. One of them is true and true. So you have an and between, on the left-hand side, the tree for true and true, and on the right-hand side, the tree for not true or false. So this is the definition of the expression tree. An expression tree can be either true or false, or not of an expression tree, or the and of two expression trees, or the or between two expression trees. That's the definition. And it's actually a recursive definition, right? We have the tree, expression tree, inside of the definition of the expression tree. So it looks like it's a circular definition. It might never end, right? But we said that, well, in order to have recursion, you have to be careful to finish somewhere. And it's usually safe because it's always, at the end, you can always end with true and false. So no matter how big the tree is, you're going to, the lowest level is going to always be true and false, so it can be an infinite tree. So here are some definitions that we're going to use when we're going to talk about expression trees. The roots of a tree, so these trees are kind of backwards. It's almost like gravity is the other way, or just for them, gravity works the opposite that it works for us. So the root of the tree is what's on top. Right? So if you have a big and of two things, you know, and of paren, lots of things, and another paren with lots of things, the root is going to be an and.
And it can be either true or false can be at the root, which means that that tree is going to be the true tree or the false tree. You can have not at the root, you can have and at the root, or you can have or. And those are all the possibilities. A subtree is just any tree underneath the root. And usually have a left subtree, which is a subtree to the left, and the right subtree, which is a subtree to the right. And a leaf is just a subtree that does not have any subtrees on its own. So it's always going to be either a Boolean variable or a true or a false. And the depth is the number of nodes between the root and the deepest leaf, like the longest path between the root and any leaf in the tree. So how do we evaluate? When we're given an expression tree, this is going to help us break down a long expression into simpler expressions. I did an example at the beginning of the class. We don't have it here anymore, but it's kind of a hard problem. And computers use expression trees a lot to take a long expression and break it down into smaller expressions. And if we see a tree like this, we would like to know what does it mean? What is the expression equal to, right? Every expression, if you put false and true, if you replace the variables with false and true, you can know exactly what that expression is, and you had a problem in the homework like that. So how do we evaluate it? How do we know what is the value of this tree? Can anybody figure it out? It's false, right? Because, okay, the left subtree is true and true, which is true. The right subtree is, this is false. False or false is false. And then you have a true and a false, which is false. So there's two ways of evaluating the trees. You can go either from the bottom up, or you can go from the top down. And so the bottom up says, okay, I'm going to start at the leaves. I'm going to start, down. And I'm going to build it up, and I'm going to take the leaves and go up a level, see what the operation is. I'm going to execute that operation on the leaves, and so on, going up. And so I'm going to first start with the left subtree, for example. It doesn't matter; you can start at the right. The idea is that you start with the leaves, and then that whole tree is going to be true. Then you go to the not true, which is going to be false. Then you're going to go to the right subtree of the main subtree, of the main tree, and that's going to be false, and then you have a true and false, which is going to give you false. Another way to do it is to go top down, right? So knowing that, okay, I have a big and of two things, and I have an and of the left, whatever the left subtree gives me, anded with whatever the right subtree gives me. And I evaluate the left subtree, which is true, and then I evaluate the right subtree, which is false, and then I just do the same thing. I do true and false, right? So it's almost like I can have a long expression on a piece of paper, and I can break it down into smaller expressions. And I can start right here, say this is the expression that I'm working with. I can have and between true and true, and not true or false. I can take the and apart from the right-hand side and the left-hand side, and I can give it to people here, and the person here is going to say, oh, it's an and, but it's going to give it to the people behind him to evaluate. The people behind, once they get, they're going to rip the paper apart until they have, something like true and true, which they know what that is. And then they're going to bring it back to the front and say, okay, the left subtree was actually true, the right subtree was actually false, and put it together at the root. So you can use either one. I use the bottom up because the top down, if the tree is very big, it's kind of hard to keep track of things. But you can do it either way, it doesn't matter. So both ways to evaluate the trees are valid. They're a little different because the top down is recursive, right? It's saying, evaluate the tree, says save the root, and then
evaluate the left tree, evaluate the right tree, and the result together. But it makes a much cleaner code. And so, how do we go from a Boolean expression to a tree? How does that happen? Well, there's two possibilities of doing it. There's two options. You can have either the bottom-up way or the top-down way. If you do the bottom-up way, it looks at the details first. Just as we broke down the big expression into smaller expression, it asks the question, how would a person do this expression? What is the first detail that I need to start with? And then, you know, what is the next step? So it's looking at stuff like, I'm doing the parentheses before I'm doing the not, and I'm doing the not before I do the and I do the and before I do the or. The top-down looks at the big picture first. We're gonna go through each one of them. Let's take the bottom-up one that looks at the details. If you were to evaluate this expression, you would see that there are not, there's a not, there's an or, there's a paren. You're going to do the paren first. And in the paren, you have a not and an or, you do the not first. So the first step you're going to do is the not b. So it's very like, you know, what's the smallest detail that I can handle. So that's the first thing it's going to do. It's going to do in the not b. And it's bottom up, so it's going to put it at the bottom. Then the next thing you're going to do is continue with a paren. The paren is not B or C. So you're going to do an or with a C. And you're done with a paren. The next thing you do is you have to AND this whole thing with A. So that's going to give you this tree. And now you're done. You finished making the tree. But it always starts at the smallest detail that you can, the first thing that you need to do when you evaluate this expression. Now, if you go to the top-down approach, the top-down approach looks at the big picture. And it looks at this expression, and it says, okay, the big picture is, this is an AND. This is a big AND operation. Okay, so I'm going to put the AND at the top. It's an AND between two things. One of them is A. And the other one is the parentheses, right? The not B or C. So I'm going to, you know, the right subtree is going to be the subtree that corresponds to not B or C. And so the big picture in the not B or C is or. It's an or between two things. And the or takes another, you know, two things. One of them is C, and the other one is a not of B. And so that's how you build the top-down tree, if you have an expression. This is just to show you, if you were to program, it makes for very, very, the top-down approach makes for very nice code. It says, if you evaluate a tree, if the root of the tree is true, then you return true. That's what the value that you return. If the root of the tree is false, then you return false. If the root of the tree is a not, then you just evaluate the subtree and then return not that value. So if your subtree is going to be true, you're returning false. If the subtree is going to be false, you're returning true. If the root of the tree is an AND, you're going to evaluate, V1 is going to be evaluate the left subtree, V2 is going to be evaluate the right subtree, and then you're going to AND the V1 and V2, and that's going to be your value that you're going to. And if it's an OR, you do the same thing. You evaluate the two subtrees, and then you make an OR. It's a very, very clean and a nice code if you were to use it. Now, we've seen when we evaluated it, we can have trues and false and stuff like that in the leaves. But what if we have variables? What happens then? Variables always have values. And so we can just replace the variables with the values, and that's going to help us determine the expression of the tree. Now, how do we make a program from the tree, right? So we said that the tree is going to help us go from a complicated expression to machine language expressions. And we saw how to go between the long expression and the tree. We saw the bottom-up and top-down approaches.
So let's say we have this tree. How do we make the machine language that corresponds to this tree? Well, this is much easier because now we know exactly, if we had this tree, what's the operation that we're going to do first? What is it? If you were to evaluate the tree bottom up, not A. So you can just say, so that's your first option. Like that's your first operation that you're going to do. And you can just say accumulator equals not A. And now you have not A in your accumulator. You've executed not A. The next thing you're going to do is, okay, so now you have not A in the accumulator. That's your value stored. The next one you're going to do is or B. And now you have accumulator or B. You can put that in the accumulator. And now the accumulator is going to hold the whole expression. And your answer is going to be in the accumulator. So whatever values A and B have, that value is going to be stored in the accumulator. So in the computer, how does this actually work practically? You know, what does the computer see? Or why are we doing this? Let's say there's a person and they program in a programming language. C, Java, whatever you want. The computer actually takes that code and makes expression trees out of it. Right? So the programming language is almost like, you can think of it as expressions, as long Boolean expressions. That's some simplification, but it can be long expressions. And it's making the tree from those expressions. And then it's going to make from the tree, it can make the machine language, just as we saw before. And so, you know, going bottom up, what is the first thing that I need to do? Oh, accumulator equals A, okay, accumulator equals A, then accumulator equals accumulator and B, and so on. And then we saw that each expression, each instruction has a 7-bit code. So it's just translating the each instruction into 7 bits. And that is something that the computer likes seeing. That's something that the computer works with. So if the person were to tell the computer, you know, directly what to do, it would have to program like that. 0100001, just a whole bunch of bits, which people don't like to do. People want to say, you know, make the sound pop and wait, or move the cat, you know, 2 steps to the left and draw a square, and so on. And so, but the computer actually wants to see this. So expression trees and machine language bridges the gap between, you know, scratch and what the computer, you know, likes to see and understands. And so in the computer, what actually bridges the gap are called interpreters and compilers. So an interpreter, the difference between interpreters and compilers are that interpreters take code and make it happen. So say, let's say this code is evaluate this tree. What is the value of this tree? You know, not false or true. And you know, their interpreter is actually computing the value, and it's going to spit out true. So you give the interpreter the code and the inputs, you know, what is A, what is B, what is C, all the values, and it's actually computing and giving you a result. So it takes a program and makes it happen. The compilers take code in Java or Scratch or C, whatever you want, and turn it into machine language. And so it basically, the compiler is a program that takes a program as input and outputs another program. So there's 3 programs in this, on this diagram. The idea is that the program that it spits out is much closer to what the computer can understand. And then you only have 1 step, which is the assembler, and that turns this program in machine language into what the computer actually wants to see. And so it almost acts like a translator. It doesn't, you know, the translator, if you have a person who is going to do business with somewhere, and the translator doesn't actually, you know, do what the the person wants. So they don't, okay, so let's say the businessman is American and he goes to a country, to a factory that doesn't speak English. And he asks them, please make this kind of computer for me. The translator is not going to make the computer. The translator is going to tell the people in the factory, this guy wants this kind of computer from you. So it acts like that kind of translator. And so in the next slides, I'm going to show you how to go from to actually compute the value of an expression. Take the value of an expression, make the tree, and how does that happen? And you might want to do it in two ways. You might want to store the result in the accumulator, or you might want to store the result in memory. And we're gonna do they're gonna do both of them. So let's say we have an expression A, and we want to put the expression in the accumulator. A is going to be, we don't know what the expression is. It can be B or C. So let's say A is, let's say your expression is B or C. And you know that B is true and C is false. Okay? And you would like to put this expression in the accumulator. The way to do it is you evaluate the expression. So you do what is the right hand side? It's B or C, which is going to be true. And you put that in the accumulator. If you want the answer in the accumulator, you put accumulator equals A, which is going to take the value of A and dump it in the accumulator. If you want the answer in a variable, in P for example, you do accumulator equals A, put the value in, copy the value from A in the accumulator, and then copy the value from the accumulator in B. You cannot do P equals A. That's not a valid instruction. And so if you had that, and the expression tree is just A, it's a leaf. If you had the not of, the, of an expression, you generate the code for the expression. So let's say your expression is again B or C. The first thing you need to do is evaluate the expression. You need to know exactly what the expression is, because the accumulator can only hold a truth value. Even if we say accumulator is, in the accumulator we have not A or B, that's going to be either true or false. There's no other way. So the first thing you need to do is evaluate the expression. So what is the expression going to be? Well, it's B or C, so the expression is going to be true. And then you say accumulator equals, so let's say you save it in N. So you do N equals expression. Now your true gets copied in N, and you can say accumulator equals not N. So N is going to store the value of your expression, and then if you want to not it, you're just going to say accumulator equals not N. This slide doesn't show how you actually get the expression. It kind of assumes that you can evaluate it. If you want the answer in the memory, you put the... you put, instead of saying N equals expression, you can say accumulator equals expression. And then you just put, you want the answer in P, you say P equals not accumulator. And that's going to put it in P, it's going to put not whatever the expression is, which is going to be not true, which is going to be false. So here, notice how we needed to use a temporary variable. We had to save the expression in N, so that we can do something like accumulator equals not N. Otherwise, we might want to save it so that we can just do one step and have in the accumulator have not N. If we want to do OR of two expressions, of course we're going to do generate the code for expression 1, evaluate expression 1, save the answer in N or in any other variable that we are not using. Then we can do generate the code for expression 2, put the answer in the accumulator, and then say accumulator equals accumulator or N. So
let's give an example. What if, let's say expression one is A and B. Expression two is B, A and C. How are we gonna do expression one or expression two in the accumulator? Well, this expression one we have to evaluate, right? So the first step is expression one. What is expression one going to be? Let's say A is true. What is that going to be? So we have true and true. What about expression two? Evaluate expression true, two. Then we can do, it says store the answer, the value of expression one in n. And so the first step, the second step is n equals true. Save it in n. Then we do expression two equals false. And answer in the accumulator.
Implies that you need to evaluate A.
So that's the first thing you need to do. Then you need to put any accumulator. So I skipped a few steps here. But if you are able to evaluate A, you need not A in the accumulator. So you have to do this trick where you copy A in the accumulator, and then you say N equals not accumulator. And that's going to give you an N. It's going to give you what? Not A. Then when you generate the code for B, you just say accumulator equals B, and then you want to have B ORed with not A. So you do accumulator equals accumulator or N, because in accumulator you have B and N is not A. And so that's going to give you a not ORed. And it's kind of the same thing for if you want to store the answer in P, you have to generate the code for A. So evaluate A, save in the accumulator, and then say that P equals not accumulator, so not A. And then you're going to have to say P equals accumulator or P after you have saved B in the accumulator. So those are the small steps. The writing that's straight, that's going to be your machine language code. And the writing that's kind of italics, that's just kind of what is happening. What's the explanation for it? And finally, the assembler does a final step. It takes instructions and it converts them into the 7-bit code. And the 7-bit code is a number between, well, how many numbers can you make with 7 bits? So the first number, the smallest, is 00007 zeros. And the biggest number is 111111. What is this number in decimals?
127.
Wow. 127. So you have, your instructions are going to be, if you convert the instructions, 7-bit instructions in decimal, you're going to get a number between 0 and 127. So we have 127, that's the last one. It's P equals not accumulator. So you just translate, and then the computer sees 32, 125, 33, 13. That doesn't say anything to us, but the computer has a lot of meaning because it knows exactly, oh, this is this instruction and this variable is involved, and it can actually perform the operation. And so if you have something like not A or B, there is a way to generate the code, which is using what I just described. How do you do, if you have expression 1 and you have expression 2, this is an OR, how do you OR the two expressions, how you generate the code? This is done kind of automatically. This is done using, if you were to write a program that would automatically generate these instructions. But if you do it by hand, you can just say accumulator equals not A and accumulator equals accumulator or B. And notice how that works. It's made out of simple instructions, the basic instructions. And so it's like it's two instructions instead of four instructions, which is much, much better. So there's this whole area in research where people take basic instructions or code, and they're asking, how can we make this smaller? Because the code in the second code is going to run twice as fast as the first code. And so notice there's not just one way to do it. If I were to give you a long expression and I would ask you, please break it down into machine language, there's probably going to be 10 or, depending on how big the expression is, there's going to be lots and lots and lots of ways to do it. And so most of the time there's more than one way to do it. And so there's a lot of ways. This is called optimization. And people who make compilers actually study this a lot. And it's very important. It's very hot topic in research because it can speed up your programming by a lot. Some programs take a long time to compile. And so there's two important ways, which I'm going to go over pretty quickly. And then I think we're going to end this lecture. There's a way that uses shared sub-expressions and a way that using logical equivalents. So if I were to take this instruction, E equals A and B and C or A and B and D,
If I were to do it in a very inefficient way, I would say, okay, the first thing I need to do is the first part of the OR. And the first part of the OR breaks down into E equals A and B, which breaks down into those simple instructions, right? Accumulator goes A, E equals accumulator goes B, E equals accumulator A, and then I just have to say accumulator equals C, and then do E equals accumulator and E. So E at this point holds A and B. When I do this operation, E is going to hold A and B and C. Then I can do the second part, which is in the accumulator, I want to have A and B and D, which is I'm going to compute A and B and put in N, then, which is those instructions. I'm going to put D in the accumulator and compute the N between the accumulator and N. And this is, and then I can do E equals, you know, bring it all together. E holds holds this one, accumulator holds this part, and then I say E equals E and or accumulator, which is going to bring it all into E. The problem is that, notice how I computed A and B here. I already had it here. So I could just reuse it. It would be so much more efficient if I reuse that. So the idea for shared sub-expressions is that I'm looking at, okay, what are the, I'm trying to compute, the first thing that I'm going to compute is, what are the expressions that I'm going to do the most? What are the expressions that I'm computing the most? And those are A and B, right? And so I make it a goal to compute A and B and start with that. Then I have E equals, so I store A and B is the most used sub-expression, which I'm computing and storing in N, and then I just have to say E equals N and C, or N and D. So then the first part is N and C, which is that, and the second part is N and D, which is that. It's still 13 instructions. The logical equivalence looks at, I'm going to try to take this expression, I'm going to try to simplify it. And this expression actually is A and B and C, or A and B and D. You can factor out A and B. So it turns out to be A and B and C or D. If you, there's a lot of, you know, I didn't ask you to do simplifications, but if you knew how to do it, it simplifies things a lot. And so knowing that, I first compute A and B, then I compute C or D, and then I say E equals E and N accumulator, which is makes it 9 instructions instead of 13. Oh, that's it. Thanks.